There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
When I left Davidson in 1994, I had the most three-pointers ever at Davidson. Mm. Now, I don't tell people this a lot, but the three-point line just started in like 87, right? So we only had like 7 years of like getting into it, right? But I think Steph beat that in 1 year.
We are here. Another episode of Not Even D2. Great episode today where we talk with Coach Zimmerman, who's currently 18th year at Emory, really successful coach, leading Emory to NCAA tournaments. It seems like every year, like you should just pencil in Emory right now, regardless of what their record is. They got a great program led by Coach Zimmerman, which we'll get into. But what's good, bro? How you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. You know, mid-November right now, so it's getting towards the end of the semester. Locking in on school. Basketball going on right now, D3 hoop started up, so a lot of great games that's been happening, obviously here at Utica, but also around, you know, the D3 world. I caught the Endicott Tufts game. Endicott caught a crazy win. My boys Elijah Kinney and Marcus both went off that game. Bernstein had a solid game too. So yeah, just been chilling, bro, watching a lot of NBA too. Pistons been bugging, but yeah, how are you?
Nah, this has definitely been bugging. I'm good. I watch a lot of women's basketball. D3 and D1 is good bump there too. It's just good to get basketball back, bro. This is the best time of the year. I went to last Friday. I went to Richmond versus Columbia. Atmosphere was crazy. You know, two of the best mid-major programs in the country battling against each other. I was really impressed by what I was seeing from some people, but especially our girl Maggie Dugan, she's OD, bro. Like Hampton texted me during the game, like, "Yo, number 44 is really nice." And I told him like we had her on the pod. She might get drafted. He's like, "Shit, I could see why." And like I've seen Maggie play at like a high level. And in the post game, I was like, "You didn't really have your best game." And her coach was like, "Hold up, like she had 16-9-4." So it's just even on her off day, she's still a basket. And then on Saturday, I went to NYU game. Yo, they violated Jersey City. It was 112-40, bro. But made it their 65th straight win. Currently the longest active streak in NCAA. Third longest streak in D3 history. So it was a good weekend for college basketball as a whole. But especially NYU, they got to feel great. They have their ring ceremony against Geneseo this weekend. You're going to be here, so you might have to work it out to pull up.
If I can make it, bro, I just got some class thing that's done at 11. So I can make it down there, I'll definitely
slide. It's on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I got a class thing on Saturday, so we'll see if I can make it down.
All right, the game's at 2, so keep me updated for sure.
I got you.
But yeah, let's get into this episode with Coach Zimmerman. I mean, like I said, they're always in the tournament. They're 3-1 right now, maybe 2-1. They were ranked preseason number 3 in the country. So they're going to have a great year. I was watching some Ben Pierce film this morning, and I think he's the best guard in Division III. Like, he's shooting it at a great, great pace right now. I think he hit 6 threes the other day. The volume's going up. He's on pace to break a lot of Emory records. He's already in the 1K club. He can finish around the rim. And then Jair Knight is also nice. So I'm not going to say my pick for the UAA just yet, but they're definitely up there, like preseason number 3. Obviously, they're probably their favorite in the UAA. But what you think about this episode, Coach Zimmerman?
Definitely a great episode, Coach Zimmerman. His energy is infectious, bro. I love like talking to him and getting to know him. And it's no surprise why Emory, you know, why he's built that program into what it is today. I mean, over 300 wins during his time there. Since 2009, 2010, 294 to 106. That's a 0.735 record. That percentage of wins over the last couple of years. And obviously they're a great program. I mean, they've been in the NCAA tournament the last couple of years. Pretty sure they lost in the Elite Eight last year to Wesleyan, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm really interested to see what they do this upcoming season. You're right. I don't want to give my UAA pick just yet, just because, bro, we played Rochester the other day, and they're nice. I know they didn't finish well last year in the UAA, but I'm interested to see what they look like. NYU tough, but definitely a great episode with Coach Zimmerman. Great guy, and excited to see where Emory goes this year.
Yeah, this episode was really fun, bro. Like it's slightly longer, but we just had a great time. It was a great vibe talking to Coach Zimmerman. Great coach, and like you said, definitely tapped in on Emory's season this year. When they come to NYU, you also got to pop out. But let's get into this conversation with Coach Zimmerman.
All right, we are here with our guy, Coach Zimmerman. How you doing today, Coach?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are. Well, I know you are. We've just been talking a little bit, but looking forward to talking to you after watching all your – I didn't watch all of them, but I watched a bunch of them after you invited me on and saw a bunch of my good friends and acquaintances in the business. And just you guys do a great job. Looking forward to talking for a while.
Nah, I appreciate you again on, Coach. It's going to be a great episode. You know, this is KJ knows this, but like we haven't done a Division III focus episode in a little bit. And yep. This is, you know, obviously your head coach at Emory, D3 University, and, you know, it's right up our alley. So I'm really excited for this for sure.
Yeah, it's great. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So, Coach, I know you're from Indiana, and I also know like Atlanta sports are pretty lit right now with the Hawks. The Braves won the chip a few years ago. The Falcons up and down. So I'm just curious where your sports fandom lies and what you follow.
Oh, that's a great question. When I went to Davidson, everybody would ask me, like, who's your favorite college team? Right? Who's your favorite college team? I grew up in Indiana, you know, Bob Knight and Indiana. Everybody asked me, who's my favorite college basketball team? And I would say Davidson. And they'd be like, Davidson. Like, we play these guys. Like, I'm not cheering for anybody else but us, right? Like, it's it.
Yeah.
So Davidson and Emory, those two teams, automatic. Right? Automatic. And then, I just love watching good, like, competition, right? I do follow the Braves and the Falcons and the Hawks. Coach Snyder at the Hawks has been great. You know, Coach Budenholzer was here for us. So I've had some guy, you know, Coach Budenholzer, a D3 guy. Coach Snyder I've known since, you know, I played at Davidson a long time ago, so since I was young. So I like to follow people almost more than teams, like, you know, Steph with the Warriors being a Davidson connection and follow those guys. I mean, you just know so many people. So I like watching good competition, right? And I like watching guys that I know that I like, you know, compete. And so I don't know if I have a favorite, but, you know, when you're in Georgia so long, you better be like a SEC football guy. You know, you better follow that, you know, you better follow. But yeah, I just like watching good competition, like anything, like if it's a tennis match or golf or, you know, anything on TV, that's like, hey, you gotta compete and you gotta get this done to win. Like watching how people react to that, I love it. Right.
I have a quick question, Coach. So Indiana is known as like a basketball, like crazy state. Yeah. And you went to school in North Carolina, which is known as the hoop state. And now Emory in Atlanta, you're in Georgia, and people, you know, a lot of people talk about how hot people talk highly of the Georgia hoop scene. So just talk about your perspective on the three different areas, the players and all that.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and the places I've been coaching, we kind of recruit the country too, right?
Yeah.
And so it's been good for me to have those perspectives for every one of those places I've been. You know, basketball is basketball, right? Like guys like the hoop, right? You got to compete, you got to like the hoop, but every part of the country is a little different, right? In the way they hoop. Like down here in the South, like we have a lot of athletes, right? Like we got a lot of dudes who who can play in on the basketball court, but they may play like cornerback, you know, in the
Anthony Edwards.
Team. Yeah, like we got some dudes out here that get it done. So you have that athleticism with combined with the basketball. And, you know, when I grew up in Indiana, we didn't have those athletes, but we had dudes who wouldn't miss a shot for like 3 days, you know, like what's going on here? And then, you know, you got the, you know, I played for Coach McKillop, and we'll talk about that later, but I played for Coach McKillop. He's a Northeast guy, you know, he thinks the New York guys are always like, you know, the toughest, the best, you know, that's how it is.
And he's then, from Queens. He got to jack that.
This guy, you know, this guy is like, he still thinks he can go play at the park, right? He's 75, like this guy. But no, so it's been a great that perspective is great. And, you know, we on our roster right now, we have guys from all over the country. And just having that as you come in, just knowing about the area and being able to talk about it and about, you know, what goes on, it's been a real blessing for me.
So. Yeah, nah, I appreciate that perspective. And I should just say college basketball as a whole, but you're probably one of the top recruiters with the top talent that you've, like, continuously gotten year to year in your program. And I feel like it stems from, like Ruta said, like all your main stops have been in some of the top regions in the country or top states known for basketball. So it's clear. And we're going to talk about your recruiting aspects and priorities when you're looking at different kids later on in the episode. But let's talk about some Emory basketball. So you guys coming off a season, really successful, 23-6, made it to the Elite Eight. Tough loss in overtime against Wesleyan, who was number one all year. But I'm kind of curious, like, what the preseason's been like, what your expectations are, because you're returning Jair and Ben automatically. That puts you in a certain, you know, category on what the expectations are. And I know, like, we'll talk about this too, but 10 years straight made it to the NCAA tournament. I know it's got to be, like, championship eventually. So just talk about what you're thinking heading into this year.
Obviously, I think when you go into every season, every team has a goal of national championship, right? Every team has a goal of win your conference championship. Like, of course, those are our goals. We don't talk about that a whole lot, like, but it's there. Like, it's real. Like, it's real, and we guys know that. We talk more about just the objectives of we just kind of mention them. Improve every day, compete every day, and enjoy competing, enjoy it, enjoy the journey of doing that. So we've started that process, right? And those eight, it's different because you can see your guys sooner now, right? So I think we had our first practice on like September, I don't know, 5th or something. So we could see like a 2-hour practice. I can see like, oh, this guy's got a little bit better. I think we can do, our freshmen can do this a little bit. And that used to be not till October 15th, right? So you took like 4 or 5 days just seeing your guys, you know, October 15th, October 20th. Then you start formulating like, oh, this is better, this is worse, like, yeah. And then now it's, you know, November. Now you're playing a game in like 7 days. Like, here we go, you know. So it's a little different. You know, you get to see your team sooner. You just can't be too quick to judge, though, right? Like, yeah, it is September the 5th. So when I come in my office and I'm watching film, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to pull my hair out. That's why I don't have hair. But, like, I'm going to pull my hair out. What's going on with these guys? And then my assistant's like, coach, you know, it's like September 4th, and we haven't done one shell drill yet. Like, why are we angry for, right? And but we do have a veteran group. We have really good players. Ben and Jair, obviously, you know, have been very good for us for years. But we have a lot of good players, and we're excited about getting to work and seeing where this journey takes us, for sure.
It's kind of interesting, Coach. Like, you talked about how every year is different, and I feel like the year that you guys had in 2023, 2024, compared to the year you guys had in 2024, 2025, is a clear indication of that. Because if I'm not mistaken, you guys went 15-10 that year in 2023. And then the next year, obviously KJ mentioned, you guys got voted as the number one team in the country at one point, and you guys made it to Elite Eight. So two completely different years, you know, and they happened right after another.
Yeah, you know, I really don't want to talk about 2024, but and here's why. We lost 10 games. It's the most we've lost since like 2010, something like that. We were 6-8 in the league. This is the first time we hadn't finished 500 or above in the league in like 13 years. We lost 8 games in the league, and by a total of 28 points. Right. So we lost nine of our 10 losses were by 4 points or less, right? And Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've seen a lot of basketball. I don't know if I've seen a team like that. Like, I mean, 9 of our 10 losses, you know? And so we knew we were close, but I think we're going to talk about this later. But we missed the NCAA tournament, you know, and there's pressure there, but we think pressure is a privilege. Like, we had gone to 10 in a row. So our guys and our staff felt this pressure. You know, we were the only team in Division III that had been to 10 in a row at the time. And our guys felt this pressure, and we lost. Our last two games were at the buzzer that we lost. We won our last one, but we lost our last two at the buzzer on the road to Case Western, who won the league, and Carnegie, who got in the tournament. So, like, and we lost to NYU at home at the buzzer. We lost to – I mean, I could go – it was crazy. So we took that, and we talked a lot about it coming into the next year, because I'm not one of these guys that, like, oh, let's just not talk about it and forget about it. Like, no, let's learn our lessons, right? We talked about carrying a backpack around with all of that weight that we carried from 2024. If we carry a backpack around with all that weight on, we're not going to be able to play. You can't play with that weight on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. So we tried to let that go, learn our lessons from that. And we went to Spain before the 2025 season, 24-25. That really helped. And we kind of released some of that. And then we have good players. And then I coached them better. And yeah, it turned out to be a great year for us. You know, we're one possession away going to the Final Four, right? And that's what probably hurts the most is because I know how hard it is. Like, I've been here a long time and we've been in that mix a lot. And I know how hard it is to get to that. I was really happy for Joe because Coach Riley's, I know him well. He's a great guy.
That's our guy too.
Yeah. I was really happy for him. Like, I told him before the game, and I'm sure, I think he said this in a podcast. Like, I told him before the game, man, one of us is going to the Final Four, and I'm really happy that it's one of us, right? I hope it's me. Like, don't get me wrong now. I like you, but like, I hope it's me. And I genuinely meant that. And how it turned out, you know, it hurt, but I was glad for Joe. And like, but it was a great game, great college basketball game. It was a rock fight. Like, we scored, 58 points or something crazy. Like, it's my fault. We should at least
get 61.
Crazy. We should at least get to 62. That's on coaching. So, but yeah, it was a great game, and it was that learning from the 24 year was very important. And I think, you know, it was a later question, but like, we've been to 10 in a row. We missed that one, which would have been 11. We went last year to, you know, to the Elite Eight. And in 2000, you guys don't even know, but in 2011, we were 20-5, second in our league, and we didn't go. This is like, I think it was the last time the UAA didn't have two teams. Mm-hmm. And then in 2012, we started off the year 15-1. Got to like 3 in the country, and we didn't go that year. We lost like 6. So we could be at like 14 or 13 in a row right now. You know, you always talk about all these, you know, the balls that you go, but you always think about the ones that you miss, right? And like, dang, like, okay. But it's great. I don't take it for granted. My guys don't take it for granted. It's really special for us, but it really helped us last year. It really helped us, you know, get ready for 2025.
Yeah. Statistically, like, when you look at your record, it counts as a loss. But one of my favorite sayings is, if you learn from a loss, it's not really a loss. Like, it's just helping you build, and like, you're seeing your program continuously get better year to year. Like, that's a crazy turnaround that Ruta just mentioned of, you know, like, not making the tournament and then next year making it to Elite Eight in a dogfight against the number one seed. And you mentioned how you guys, like, were losing at the buzzer, and I find this really interesting because I heard that you, like, stress the little things in practice. Like, you overteach, you over-communicate. So, and I heard that you teach, like, how to guard people that, like, on a last game shot, full court. Like, you'll go through, okay, there's 10 seconds left on the clock. We're up by 2. This is how I want you to guard somebody. Yeah. So just talk about, like, what I guess I don't know what the question is, but maybe your thought process or your philosophy on going through those little things throughout the year.
Yeah, I'm a pretty simple guy, and but once you get beat so many times in the last second, you're like, hey, man, we should probably teach this, right? Like, hey, we should probably, like, talk, and you know it, right? And you know it's coming, and like, at the beginning of my career here at Emory, we were on SportsCenter top 10 plays for getting beat at the buzzer on crazy shots, like, 3 times. And I had another coach in our league call me and say, hey, I don't think Coach Krzyzewski's been on top 10 getting beat that many times. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's crazy. So, but when I was at Davidson, Coach McKillop is a master teacher, the best. And we got beat at the buzzer a couple of times. And I still use those lessons to teach, like, hey, late game, if we're going to switch it, where we want to take the guy, right? What way we want to drive him, how we're going to go get a ball if it's a loose ball, you know, the timing sequence of it. Oh, and it happens. Like, the best programs know that stuff. But to break down all that to the minute details, it's really like, because I've gotten burned so many times from it. Like, hey, if we get burned, we're going to at least know they did something that we wanted them to do, right? And, yeah, we still get beat like that. And, you know, they say when you get beat under 4 points or under 5 points, it's all coaching, right? So 2024, it was all coaching. Like, I'm taking that, right? That's on me. I got to be better. And so that's just part of it. But we do try to get those details. The hard part is it's easy to do it in practice. Right. It's easy to do it. But when
last second, your mind gets clouded
when it's that last second and it's to go to the next round of the tournament or to win the UAA or to whatever. Like, it's hard to do it then. Right. When crowds are yelling, referees out there. Hey, I got to remember, I got to take this dude to his weak hand. Right. Or, hey, I got to remember to stay down. Don't jump. Right. Whatever that may be. Right.
Yeah.
But it's good. We try to. I think that's another thing with being at a place for 18 years, you know, you have so many notes and so much time. Like, when I first got here, man, we were just trying to figure out, you know, how to get to the bus, right? Like, how do we get to the gym? Like, I don't know. Like, and now we've been here so long, like, you have time to think about it and really sustain thought, right? Some good friends of mine always talk about, I've had 18 years of sustained thought about Emory basketball, right? And, I don't know if anybody else has done that ever, but at Emory for sure not, right? But, like, yeah, 18 years.
I feel like it's just hearing that, Coach, like, it's like a constant growth mindset, like trying to learn how to grow on a year-to-year basis, like help the program, like how you could get better, how you could help your players, you know what I mean? And you talked about, like, you know, always remembering the losses. And I think that's kind of interesting because, like, as a player, like, for example, like when I was in college, like I was a shooter, right? So I always, like, that was my main thing. Like, I always make threes and stuff, but I feel like I always remembered the ones, like, at least when I was playing, the ones that I missed. I'm like, oh, I missed that one. Like, come on, man. I gotta reattack that. So kind of interesting, those two dynamics, Coach.
Yeah. I think the growth mindset is so important, and not just in life, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and I'll leave a drill that we've done every day for 30 years. And I'll be like, man, we can make that drill better. And I'm like, we've done this drill now. And I hate when coaches say we do this drill every day, because that's nonsense. Like, maybe one, but you can't do 15 drills every day. The practice is over, right? Yeah. So, but we do a couple every day. And when we get done, there are times when you're like, hey, I've done this drill for 10 years. And if we just change this, it makes it better. And I think it keeps you young, right? I think it keeps you young. And remembering that every year is new, right? Sometimes that's hard when you've been somewhere for so long. Like, my freshmen have never heard this before, right? Our seniors have heard it for 4 years. I've talked about it for maybe 30, right? Because a lot of the stuff I teach is like Coach McKillop stuff. A lot of the stuff I teach is like Al Rhodes. That's my high school coach. So I got to remember, like, hey, this guy who just came, he's never heard this before, right? And have the same enthusiasm, have the same stressor, have the same attention to details you had with it at the beginning. And that's challenging. Sometimes you have to really be disciplined to do it. And sometimes I'm not. I remind myself of that in practice.
Hey, I appreciate you acknowledging that. Sometimes you're not, we can't all be perfect sometimes. that's the reality, honestly, but
and I'm far from perfect, boys. Let me tell you that.
Hey, that's all of us, Coach. That's what makes us great for sure. But, you know, I'm kind of wondering some, so when I looked at the Emory website, looked at the schedule, looked at the statistics online, the one thing that stood out to me, right, you guys score the crap out the ball, like 84.1 points per game, I think, which was top 20 in the country, if I'm not mistaken, at least on the NCAA website. And, you know, when I watch your games, you guys are getting out in transition. Like, I've seen you guys so many times, like, have some crazy dunks on the fast break. So just talk about the high up-tempo offense that Emory has and kind of what's kind of become the staple of your program.
Yeah, I enjoy coaching it. And I know, like, I enjoy coaching it. I know how to coach it, right? So that's important. I think you have to know how to teach it, right? I think guys enjoy playing that way until they have to play that way, right? Until they all say, everybody says they want to play fast until they get here. Like, hey, man, we got to be in better shape. Like, we got to, like, if you want to play fast, like, really? Our practices are like, hey, we don't just walk to the next spot. We don't just, there's nothing. It's also my personality. You know, I don't stay, like, I want to get on, like, next play, go, let's move, let's keep going, right? I think it helps that mentality, too, to play fast. I also think it's hard, you know, when you're born, you learn to crawl, right? Then you learn to walk, then you learn to run, then you run faster, right? I think it's easier to walk the ball up the court and grind it out, right? And be disciplined. Well, yeah, you only have 50 possessions yet. If you're going to run and be disciplined, those are hard things to do, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I watch my team or you watch our team, you're like, man, that's not very disciplined, but there's probably a method to that madness, right? We hope so. Not every time, but a lot of times there's a method to that madness. So, yeah. And also when I started, the UAA was different, right? College basketball is different in 07, 08, right? Teams weren't playing quite as fast as we do now. Teams weren't switching as much. Teams didn't shoot threes as much. And we, you know, started being different from people. And then, like, not that we started it, like, people were doing it, but we just bought into doing that. And then now it's the game's, a lot of people play the game faster, right? A lot of people do those things. So, yeah, you know, we'd like to be a little bit more efficient, I think. We were really efficient defensively last year, but we like to be a little bit more efficient, but we're going to play fast. So we're going to get some possessions in.
Yeah. I'm curious from a coaching perspective, how you, when I was playing college basketball, we never really played fast. And I'm curious how you teach that day to day. Like, what does Emory's practices look like, or what do the film sessions look like to get a disciplined but fast paced offense?
Yeah, that's good. So everything we try to do with pace, which is hard when you're a teacher, right? Because you have to teach details and you got to slow it down to teach it. But we want to, like, even a shooting drill would be like, hey, let's get to the next spot. And I think that, you know, a lot of people do that. We put an emphasis on that a lot. You know, we show film about that a lot. Like, hey, you don't have to be the fastest dude, but you got to put effort into running here, right? Like, we don't need, like, you know, Usain Bolts. Like, yeah, that'd be great. But we need, like, guys putting in effort to run, to make that effort to do it. So everything we kind of do is kind of hair on fire kind of stuff. And it fits my personality, really. It fits our guys. And it takes a little bit of time. But it's something that we've used a lot. And defensively, it's the same thing. You know, we don't press quite as much as we used to, but you know, we want to play to that next play. And I think when you do it, you know, people talk about going to the next play a lot. Well, if you're playing fast, you have to go to the next play.
Yeah.
Because if you don't go to the next play, the team's past you. Like, hey, man. And if you're, and we'll show film on that a lot. Like, okay, we just made a shot. Our defensive transition, like, there's a period of like 3 seconds here where we just took the play off, right? Okay, they made a shot. There's 3 seconds here where, like, there's no, you know, eliminate dead time. It's one of our championship level things. And there's dead time there. And I think there's a lot of dead time on the court. You know, and when I watch games, it drives me crazy, like, how much dead time there is on the court with our guys. Like, come on, what are we doing?
Super. I like that saying too. I might add it to my quote list, eliminate dead time. Appreciate it.
It's a good one. We have some good ones, but they're my guys get tired of all our sayings, right? They're like, come on, man.
I love programs that are built upon sayings. So I'm going to need you to send us some of the sayings that you use day in and day out. This is going to be the last thing we talk about before we take a quick break. Great. But so when I was looking at the roster, you guys have 16 players and 11 of them were from different states. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. But it makes sense that, you know, Emory is a known brand at this point with the location, the high academic space, the resources, connection hub. So I'm just kind of curious what the recruitment process looks like for Emory, what tournaments you're going to, what are the conversations like, and then also how you think Emory's benefits kind of, like, propel you to be so successful in the recruiting aspect.
Yeah, well, let's get something straight, right? People know Emory, right? It's not Coach Zimmerman. It's not our basketball team. Now, it is part of it, right? But like Emory's a national, it's a worldwide brand, right? It's a worldwide brand. You put an Emory shirt on and, you know, people usually Emory Healthcare, right? Like people know Emory, the name, right? Like, so that helps, right? That helps a lot. And, you know, being in Atlanta, and even if you don't know Emory, like when we start introducing Emory to you, there's a lot to be excited about, right? Hey, look, I've coached here 18 years. I came here. Like I made the choice to come here to coach, right? Like there's a lot of reasons why I made that choice, right? And there's a lot of reasons why I think our players and people should make that choice for sure. So Emory, you know, I've been blessed to coach at a great institution, world-class place, world-class people. We just won the Director's Cup with all our whole athletic department, right? Which is really special. And for someone who's been here a long time, you know, I kind of wear Emory on my heart, right? Like Emory and Davidson, like I told you, you know, those things are emblazed on my heart, right? So that's a piece. So for us too is, you know, at the university where we work, you have to get in to school, right? You have to be an unbelievable student to get in. Financially, there's got to be a way to go to school here, you know, whether it's need-based aid and merit. We have some merit, but we don't have a whole lot of merit, right? So you got to be financially be able to come to school at Emory. And then basketball piece, right? So there's like a three-ring circus that we have here that you for recruiting. That everybody kind of has it, and everybody's to a different extent, right? So your admissions, your financial aid, and your basketball piece. And then what happens in that funnel is, you know, I don't know, when we started here, that funnel was a little bit bigger. Now we got to get like, hey, there's like four dudes in the country that I think can play better than, well, if we got to get guys like Ben and Jair, I don't know if we can do that. You know, like, heck, I don't know. But the funnel gets smaller and smaller, but we take that as a benefit, an asset, right? Like we're going after specific guys and specific guys who want certain things, right? Like, people who want really high academics, people who want great place to live, good basketball program, you know, to be coached by a ball crazy guy, right? Like that, like people who want those things, like this is a good one, right? This is a good place to go, right? This is a good place to be. So that helps our recruiting in that. And we're blessed to be able to represent this institution and this program. And we don't take that for granted. We actually take great pride in it for sure.
So if I was getting recruited by Emory, I'd probably commit too.
Stay with us. I did, KJ. So, you know.
Stay with us while you take a quick break.
All right. We are back from our break, Not Even D2 podcast here with Coach Zimmerman. So, Coach, when we looked at your bio, we saw obviously that you played at Davidson College. And you were a bucket there, you know, 1,100-plus point scorer, I'm pretty sure, in your career there. So that's a huge accomplishment. Scoring 1,000-plus in college is a huge accomplishment, Coach. So, and it's always interesting, too, like talking to coaches who are former players and like trying to figure out, like, did your playing career, like if you're a really good offensive player, are you like offensive focus? Or even, like we talked to Coach Moore and she scored over 2,000 points, but she's focused on defense now. She's not worried about offense. So to talk about how much your career kind of influences your playing career, how much it influences your coaching career today.
It's a great question. We, if you talk to any of my teammates or probably my coaches, and if you told them my team was fifth in the country defensive efficiency, they'd be like, "What? Like, you didn't guard anybody? Like, what are you talking about?" That's true. So, Coach McKilmer, I tell you what influenced from my playing career to my coaching career was I was blessed to play for two of the best coaches in the world. Al Rhodes in high school. He's in the Indiana High School Basketball Hall of Fame. He was one of the best teachers that you could. He was a math teacher, but he was an unbelievable teacher of the game. He was way ahead of his time. Like he was doing points per possession back in like 1987. Like he was an analytics guy. He was smarter than everybody. But he was an unbelievable basketball coach. And then I got to go play for Coach McKillop at Davidson. He's in the Hall of Fame. Everybody knows him because of Steph, but he's the best. In my opinion, he's the best teacher of the game that there is at any level. So I would say what influences my coaching career is I played for two great coaches. Right. And, you know, if I can just do what they do, you know, I'd be pretty good. Like, you know, if I don't even have any of my own, I like to say I bring my own personality into it, but those two guys are, I owe them you know, my life, right? Like my professional career, like everything, like being a pro coach, you know, like meaning professionally coaching is just special. And I think the other thing that those two guys gave us was just, they were so passionate and they cared so much about the game of basketball. And you just didn't think about anything. Like, I just thought, like, I don't even know if I thought about school much, you know, like these dudes, like, now I went to Davidson, which you had to think about school, but yeah. Like when you're like in Warsaw, Indiana, and like all you thought about was Friday night game. How are we going to get better? What are you going to do in the summer? All you thought about is trying to make your game better. Right. And I just blessed to be around those two guys. So I'd say those they're very passionate. They're very different, but learning from those two guys and everything I do is influenced by those two guys at some way. Right.
Yeah.
It may not be – I don't coach like them, for sure. Like, I have a different personality than both of them, but like, it influences me, right? And so that's what I say as much as me playing would be who I played for and influenced it more than anything.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about Coach McKillop in a second, but first I want to hear what your game was like a little bit. Rudy mentioned you were a basket. Were you a shooter? Were you getting downhill? Were you doing all?
When I left Davidson in 1994, I had the most three-pointers ever at Davidson. Mm. Now, I don't tell people this a lot, but the three-point line just started in like 87, right? So we only had like 7 years of like getting into it, right? But I think Steph beat that in 1 year. Like, there were a lot of other guys that beat it before Steph, but I think Steph had more than I had in my career in 1 year. And we did. All those other guys that beat the three-point record before Steph, all those other guys called Coach and be like, hey, if we got to shoot as much as Steph got to shoot, I still have to. We still be out there. But I could shoot. But, you know, I think I was in the top 7 or 5 or 10, I don't know, in assists for a career. And like, so I could do other things. Like, I get like,
you wait, know, so you were lead guard, like point?
I was wherever Coach wanted to play me. And at the time, and when I started, like my freshman and sophomore year, we weren't any good. And then my junior year, we got to be a lot better. And then my senior year, Coach quit playing me and we were really good because he quit playing me. Right. So, but I will say, I think that going through that process in your career, like not playing a year and, you know, I was, not that I was any good, but I was like leading scorer as a freshman, second as a sophomore, I don't know, third, something as a junior. And then by your senior year, I was sixth, seventh man sometimes, right? Not playing. Like, that's helped me so much as a coach. Because guys come in my office and say, man, I should be playing. Well, hey, man, I did that. Like, I was a leading scorer on the team, right? I was pretty good. I thought, like, my stats were pretty good. And then Coach decided not to play me. And we were good. Our team was winning, right? Our team was winning. So going through that process really helped me as a coach, right? Like, I know what that guy feels like. Not like, oh, I think he feels like this. No, I know that. I know the feelings of the feelings of when I'd go home to my dorm and, hey, man, I there'd be tears, right? Like, I care about this team, right? I care, but I want to play, right? And I want to – but I care about the team more, but I didn't want anybody to see me conflicted like that out in public. But by God, when I got home, because I was leading the team, but when I got home in the dorm room, yeah, it's hard. So going through that process, right, it's you just never know what's going to change you, you know, make you a better person, right, make you better, like, coach, better person, better. And I'm just grateful for that opportunity. And so I was a decent player. I don't even think about my playing career anymore because it's so long ago. Like, they had peach baskets. They had to climb up a ladder to get the ball out when I played, you know, like, come on. But yeah, I was a decent player, but it really enjoyed like part of being on a team and trying to get better, building a program. You know, people know Coach McKillop because he coached Steph, and he's like the mayor of Davidson, right? Like, he's the guy. But we were with him when he wasn't the mayor of Davidson, right? We were with him when we were building that sucker, and it was hard. And you had to walk around campus with Davidson basketball shirt on, and your record was 10-19, and people look at you like you can't play. And then how tough you have to be, how tough skin you have to go back to work and get better. And then to be able to make the NIT our senior year, make the NCAA tournament when I coached for him. I think that process just teaches you so much, right?
It shows why, like, the Emory program has a lot of retention with people coming back to play for you, because, like you said, going from the highs of, like, say it's high school and then you get to college and you're not playing at all, or even when you're in college being a good player. Like, my freshman year, I was one of the better players on my team, and then, like, my junior year, I was barely playing. And like you said, like, there's tears going into your dorm, or you're like, I don't even want to play for this dude no more. But having a coach that's, like, putting your mind to ease or giving you the ropes on how you can get back on the floor, stuff like that, is going to make you, understand completely, but you're going to understand it more, or be like, okay, he has some reason as to why I'm not playing, so.
And also with that, like, there's a way to handle that, right? Like, there's a way to handle it. Some guys handle it better than others, right? Some guys make the team better even though they're not playing as much, right? Some guys just taking it all personally and, like, now you're hurting the team, right? Like, and I think that's the way in life, right? You're going to have a job. Like, you're not going to get everything you want in your job. Like, how are you helping our company? How are you helping your company? How you, you know, how do you – you have a family, right? Not everything goes perfect when you're family. Like, how you – how you loving your wife, right? How you treating your kids, like, how you raising children. Like, I just think there's so much of that, KJ. And it's, you know, we go through it in a very intense setting, right? Like, we win or we lose. And we're dealing with young men who are very, like, strong-willed and have, you know, alpha males, right? Like, that's what we deal with, right? And being able to learn and teach and that growth mindset, yeah, it's fun, man. It's like, gosh, I don't want to do anything else. I just want to keep doing it, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. I could see the passion, just how you speak, for sure. You mentioned Coach McKillop, and legend in North Carolina around Davidson communities and spaces. So I know you talked a little bit about he's one of the best teachers, but just talk about, because, like, after you played for him, you ended up coaching for, I think, 7 seasons with him. So just talk about, like, what made him so good, and if you could give us some gems on what he taught you.
Well, there's too many to tell you, right? Like, it's like going to it's like you're getting your PhD in coaching and teaching, right? Every day. And I was with him for 11 years, 4 as a player, 7 as a coach. Every day, like, he'd come up with something that you're like, wow, how do you think about that, right? And it's not like, oh, this aha moment, but he just came to work every day, right? Every day he come to work. And like, his will, like, he built Davidson basketball just on his sheer willpower, right? Like, I'm just gonna will this program to be good, right? And to be able to see it from the beginning until he retired, right? And watch that's like getting your PhD in coaching, right? And people don't understand, like, he wasn't this like well-known guy, you know. He was just a high school, there's great high school basketball coaches, right? Like, some of the best coaches in the country are high school basketball coaches. He was a high school basketball coach when he got the Davidson job, right? Mm-hmm. And he was a teacher. And so just being able to watch his growth and the growth of our program, it's just a blueprint. And you know, how he cares about everybody. And now he's the tough sucker now. Like, playing for him is hard. Like, coaching for him is hard. Like, it's hard, but if it wasn't hard, everybody could do it, right? Mm-hmm. So but it was special. And just his, you know, we take so much from him in our program. Like, our code comes directly from Davidson, directly from him. From him, but, like, I've been part of building that too, right? So, like, I feel part of that, right? Like, I steal a lot, but, like, the code, you know, some principles that he does, like, it's just his whole being, you know, how he does practice, right? How he treats the guys, like, I just learned so much from him.
Coach McKillop just seems like a straight up, like, good dude. Like, I see a lot of clips of him at the Curry camp, just, like, dropping knowledge on some of the players and stuff. And it's just like, he just has, like you said, every day I can imagine that you're getting your PhD in coaching with him, because he's been around the game just so long. And, like, obviously, yes, like, he coached, like, Stephen Curry, but in reality, like, he was really the first person to give, like, Stephen Curry a real shot on the big stage. Like, yo, run the show, like, do what you need from us. And, like, from then on, like, Davidson built on the success of that. Like, I remember when I was in high school, when he was still coaching, like, seeing Davidson in the tournament in the mid-2010s, like, every year, I felt like. So,
definitely. Yeah, you know, he's such a good teacher. Like, he thinks about what he's going to say, and he breaks it down so much. And now when he's not coaching his team, he has, like, a year to think about that Steph Curry, like, camp, right? Like, and it's so good, right? And some of the stuff that he thinks about is crazy. And you're like, man, you can't say that. And he goes and says, he's like, man, that is so good, right? Yeah. And we got so many stories about that I can't tell you on here for sure. But he's just so good at that. And the thing is about coaching is he's a teacher, right? He's a teacher. Now, don't get, you know, like, he doesn't curse anymore. Like, he goes to mass every day. Like, when I was playing for him now, I learned new words. Like, I had all kind of stuff, right? All kind of stuff. And I'm not as good as coach. Like, I still get it going a little bit.
Nah, that's awesome. Shout out Coach McKillop for sure. Right. If he's listening, we got to have him on the pod for sure. Definitely hop on, Coach. But no, just talking a little bit more about Emory, Coach, you guys went on a run of 10 straight NCAA tournament appearances from 2013 to 2023. Huge accomplishment, Coach. I mean, in Division III, like you said, I think you guys are one of the only teams to have accomplished something like that at the time, like you mentioned. And you know, you really don't see that in Division III, just with, like, retention of teams, of even coaches and athletic directors. Like, it's Division III can sometimes be very you can't really plan for it sometimes on a year-to-year basis because, you know, a lot of variables that go within the process of building a team. So just talk about, you know, how you maintain that winning consistency within Division III.
Yeah, I think that kind of goes into the culture piece too. Like, it's a you know, passing the torch from one generation of players to the next generation of players, right? And it's let's start with the players, right? You have to have really good players, and those players recruit better players, and those players recruit good players, and then they teach them, and then they're together. And so you have to have guys that care about basketball, right? A lot of people come to Emory with grand plans, right? Like, they're gonna, like, cure cancer, be a doctor, own a business. Like, these guys have, they're so much bigger than basketball, but they care so much about basketball, right? And they care so much about it. Like, yeah, there's a bigger picture, but when they're here, they care about competing. They care about improving. They care about being on a team. They care about the guys in the locker room. There's just this care that carries over from, like, passing that torch down to the next guy. And that's real, right? And when you get real people that do that, when you get players that do that, it's something really special, right? So you start with the players, and then you also go to staff, right? Like, you know, like, we've had unbelievable staffs here, like, guys that, like, my staff now, I just hired Matt Krause from, he's at Nebraska Wesleyan, but he played at Florida. So I hired him. He's an Atlanta guy. But I've had Charlie Kopp has been with me for like 11 years now. He played at Penn. He's in Atlanta. He's been with me for 11 years, right? The smartest guy I know, gets more out of the 24 hours than anybody I've ever seen, right? He's got a full-time job and then basically does this job full-time too. He texts me, Chad Hickson, who played for me. He's on staff. He's been with me since 2010, not the whole time, he's been here and there, but he's on staff. So that carryover, right? The carryover with staff. But if you go through my staff, like, if you start at the beginning, Matt McKillop was on staff. He's the head coach of Davidson now, right? Mm-hmm. I had a guy who's now in Elon administration, the head coach of Union, Chris Murphy was on. He was my guy. Chris McHugh at Washington and Lee, he was on staff here. Then we had a guy that got out of the business who's killing it in sales. Then we got G, like, G's down at Tulane now, assistant. And then we had Jacob. Now he's at Messiah. He's the head coach of Messiah. These are just my full-time guys, right? My part-time guys, we got the head coach of Coastal Georgia now, Tim McAllister, he's there. Like, we just got all these guys that care about hoop, right? Like, they just care about hooping and coaching and young men and men. And, like, so that's all part of that process. And I wish I could say it's me. It's not me, man. It's all these other dudes, man. I'm so blessed to be around these guys. It's ridiculous, right? And then I have players like Claude Pardue. He's at Tulane as an assistant. He was on my first team. Austin Claunch is the head coach at Texas San Antonio. He was head coach at Nichols. He was at Alabama. He was my, like, first point guard, second point guard I've had here. back in like 2010. We got Lawrence Rowley. He's an assistant at Air Force now. He was at Princeton. He played for. So we got guys that just care about people, team, being part of a group, something bigger than themselves, and love basketball. And that's something really special, right? Something really, really, really special. And then, you know, just going to work every day, like just having that piece of just go to work every day with those guys. And then something, you're going to enjoy the journey with them dudes for sure. And, we've been fortunate. We've had athletic directors that understand, like, it's really hard to be good at men's basketball.
Period. Facts.
It's really hard to be good at men's basketball. Like when we were on that run, there's one team that had been to 10 straight active, and it was us. Like, if you look at other sports, like there's some sports that have like teams that are in the win 10 national championships in a row. Like we, there's only one team that had been to 10 in a row, right? Like, it's just really hard to be good in men's basketball. And that's not saying that other sports aren't. I'm not saying that. But I just know – I don't know other sports. I just know that it's really hard to be good at men's basketball. And the Division III, it's harder to make the Division III tournament than the Division I tournament, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's 19 at-large bids, Pool C bids, 19. There's 33 in Division I, 36. I don't even know anymore. It's just really hard, right? It's really hard. And, that's a really long answer, crazy answer to the question. But there's just so much that goes into that. And I honestly – it's hard for me to fathom, right? Like when I came here, the first 2 years we were 5-23 in the UAA, right? Like that was our record. Like we won 3 games the first year. We were 3-11, and then we were 2-12. Our first 2 years here, and we had great dudes, and I love them. I love them still to this day. They were great dudes. They played their tails off the whole time, right? But we've been through that, and I don't ever take that for granted. Ever take that for granted. I think we lost 15 UAA games in a row at one time in those first 2 years, right? And so, like, people look at Emory now, like, yo, we've been to 10 in a row. Yeah, but I also lost 15 UAA games in a row. Like, it ain't me. Like, these dudes are way, you know, the players, right? It's the players. It's the coaching staff. So, nice. Yeah, those guys are special to me. They have made my life. I love coaching. I love coaching. I love being around guys, making them better. And those guys that I mentioned and every player that's played for me has helped me raise my family, made me a better person. And I just hope I get to do it a lot more. Right? Like, just hope I get to keep going.
No, that's definitely heartwarming. I think you got to give yourself a little bit more credit, though, because you're the only one that's been consistent throughout the stamped Emory program has been Coach Zimmerman. So you got to give yourself credit with that.
It's kind of funny, like a lot of people just talk about just being a good person and the benefits will come, right? So you're surrounding yourself, you're being a good person yourself, but you're also surrounding yourself with like-minded people who are also good people, who are invested in the Emory program, who are invested in the players, who are, you know, just basketball fanatics, you know, who love the game. And, you know, when you add up all those things together, you get the Emory program, which is a winning program and has a winning formula. So, you know, from the comments that KJ said, from the comments that you're making, it's no surprise to hear why Emory is so good. And I want to talk about one specific accomplishment, Coach, and this is going to be the last question of the pod before we get into rapid fire and starting five. But I saw online that you got your 300th win, and it was at NYU. So first, congrats to you, if I'm not mistaken, all-time winningest coach in Emory history. So we got to clap it up for you for sure. But, you know, 300 wins, you got at NYU, and if I'm not mistaken, again, you guys were both ranked in the top 5 in the country. So it was really a heavyweight bout for that 300th win, which makes it even crazier. So just talk about that day that, you know, that you received the win, that you got the win. And also just like, you know, you're 18 years now and coaching. So what can we expect next from Coach Zimmerman just in the future?
Woo. I'm hoping to make it to tomorrow, right? Like, but no, the 300th win, I'll give you a little bit of that. So I knew it was getting close, and my wife had never been to a UAA trip. I've been coaching 18 years. She has never gone on a road trip with us, and she's giving me a hard time. Now, part of that is because I have 2 children that were growing up. They were playing sports and, like, a lot of stuff going on, right? And so my wife went on the trip with us to New York and Boston, and we went to play Brandeis after that. So my wife goes on the trip, and she's, you know, spending time in New York, whatever. We played a game and we win. And I'm walking off the court and my wife's standing there. And usually she's in the stands. Like, I come see her after we're done. She knows, like, she, and I walk off the court and she gives me a hug and she, and I give her a hug. I said, I'll see you. I'm going to the locker room. I'll see you when we come back out. Right. And then my assistant Jacob said, hey, congratulations. And I'm like, yeah, that was a great win. You know, like it was a big time because they were really good. It's a big time win. He goes, no, you have 300. I said, oh my God, that's why my wife is here. That's why she was standing there. So I ran back to her and I gave her a hug and I said, hey, thanks. And, so the best part about that whole night though, was we had a bunch of alums in the gym, right? In the gym. So they were all there. And so I said, hey guys, come on, like come in the locker room. Right. So when we walked in the locker room, I had like maybe 15 alums, my team, one of my alums' kids, you know, like son was there. And I told the guys like, hey, that's great, but just no water. Like, you know, don't dump water on me. Like this crap, I hate that stuff, right? So next thing you know, I got like, I have a suit on, I got water. Now I got to walk through the streets of New York to the hotel, soaking wet, you know. But the best part about that 300th was the people that I got to share with. My wife was there, my staff, my alums, the guys on the team. And then, you know, that may have been the best game we played all year. Like we played really well that night. I wish we could have like, you know, done that again, copied that, paced that for like 17 more, but we played pretty well the rest of the year too. But that was a special night for us. And, you know, Coach Klasky had a really good team and they were good. It was a good night. It was a good night, but it was fun. 300 wins just mean I've been doing a long time. I got a lot of losses too, right? Got a lot of losses and like, it's all part of it. But like I said, I love doing this. I hope I get to do it for a lot more, many more years. And I hope we get many more wins, but the people that you get to do it with are really special.
No, that's yeah. Super, super dope answer, Coach. And really appreciate you, you know, like I said, getting on the pod. And I think, if KJ doesn't have another question, we're going to get into rapid fire and starting five edition. You ready, Coach?
Always ready. I don't know if I have a good answer for you, but I'm ready.
All right, Beth. So first rapid fire question I got for you. What is your favorite UAA away trip?
Whoo, man, the UAA trips are awesome, right? They're awesome. They're awesome for the players. Awesome for the players. They stink for the coaches. Because, like, we got it. Hey, where are we going to eat? Where is our pregame meal going to be? How are we going to get to the hotel? What bus? What airline? Where are we going to, like, the bus is late. The plane's late. So the trips are incredible. I love it. I love traveling. If I have a favorite, you know, each trip has its own like rhythm. You know, the New York Boston trip's great, right? It's great. The Chicago St. Louis trip, again, great. You get to stay in Chicago, get to St. Louis. That's a long – we drive in between that. That's a long drive. But I have, like, high school buddies from Indiana that come to the Chicago game, right? So, for me, that's a great trip. I get to see, like, my four or five best friends from high school. They come to the game. They harass me the whole game, which is great, right? And then, you know, growing up in the Midwest, my mom and dad live in Ohio. So, like, the Case and Carnegie trip, they get to come to those games. So, that's a great one for me, too. So – and then the Rochester, you know, Coach Neer, who used to coach there, Coach Luke are good friends of mine. Like when I go, I hate playing against them, but I love seeing Luke and those guys at Rochester. So every trip, Ruta, is really hard to say what my favorite one is. But I tell you what, everyone is a beast. Like every one of those trips are monster trips, right? Like you're playing somebody really good on Friday night, and then Sunday noon or 2 o'clock, you're playing somebody in a different city. And really fun for the players, really hard for the coaches, right?
I got you. All right, next rapid fire question. So you're from Indiana, famous sports movie called Hoosiers, which I think it takes place in Indiana. I've actually never seen it. So I have to ask, is Hoosiers your favorite sports movie?
Yeah, you've never seen Hoosiers. What is going on? Like, what, you can't talk to me and not see Hoosiers.
Yeah, I don't watch movies either, so I actually never seen Hoosiers either.
Oh, gee, I got to end the podcast right now. End the podcast. No, I love Hoosiers. There's a kid from my high school that's in the show. It's in the movie, Ray, the punchy guy. He went to my high school. He's older than me. Love that. Love Hoosiers. I love any Rocky movie, right? Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 gets a little crazy, but Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, go with those. Yeah, but Hoosiers, I mean, come on. Like, how can you not like
Hoosiers? I'll watch it.
Watch Hoosiers.
I'll watch it. Hey, he got game was my basketball movie growing up. But I'll definitely watch it for you. So next, and then last rapid fire question. What is your go-to, Atlanta, a lot of good food in the area. What is your go-to post-game meal after a big win?
Oh, man. See, I'm a simple guy. Like, I like comfort food, Doritos, Hershey bars, and Mountain Dew. Like, no, but like, you know, after a win, a lot of times it's too late, right? A lot of times it's too late. But I have, there's a Two Urban Licks right down the road is one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite spots. Is on the Beltline. It's one of my favorite spots in Atlanta. Atlanta's best wings. Love chicken wings. I go for some Atlanta's best wings. There's barbecue. There's so much good food in Atlanta. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Nah, that's my favorite part about going to Atlanta is the food for sure. Right. Get a nice soul food dish and feel great about yourself.
So you got to come by. Like, we got Mary Mac's down the road right there. Like, you got to come by. We can hook you up there.
All right, sounds good. We're sliding this next year, but we got to end this episode with Starting Five Edition. So if you're a coach, assemble a lineup, point guard through center, who's your lineup going to be? And this edition is going to be the best players that you've coached against at Emory.
Impossible, by the way. Like, I have it down here. I'm gonna rapid fire this. It's not a starting five, but I'm going to tell you some of the dudes that we play. You're not even going to know some of these dudes. Well, first of all, we played against Steph because I played Davidson. Like, I was coach Emory. We played Davidson. So, you know, Steph is the guy, right?
And oh, nah.
We played Lipscomb, and with this guy, Garrett Matthews, he played for the Knicks. So Steph and Garrett Matthews, we played them, but we'll leave them out. We'll go D3. So Ben Strong played at Guilford. He was player of the year years ago. Troy Roos played at Wash U. He was also player of the year early on. John DeBartolomeo from Rochester was a monster. He plays in Maccabi Tel Aviv. I think he's still their captain. Like, this was – he played like 2011. So those three start off – and then we hit guys like we played the national champions like, I don't know, seven times, eight times. So like Cortez Tillman and Grant Schaefer from St. Thomas were monsters. Tyler Tillema from Stevens Point, Wisconsin Stevens Point was a monster. KJ Evans from Whitewater, monster. All the guys from Oshkosh that we played in the NCAA tournament, they had like five of them. They won the national championship the next year with like they had Charlie Noon, Ben Boots, Fravert, Flynn, and all these dudes, right? And then you guys know, then you had the fifth-year guys, right? Like guys. Mm-hmm. So you got like Jack Davidson, Buzz Anthony, Spencer Friedman. Like, these dudes are monsters, right?
Oh, my God.
These dudes are monsters. So there's 13 I just named right there, 13, and they're unbelievable division. They're unbelievable basketball players in general. I'm just going to say this. We got some dudes on our squad that have been pretty good too.
100%.
So I got to, you know, some of my guys have been monsters too, but those have been really fun to compete against those guys. And there's a bunch of them in the UAA every year. Yeah, it's been great.
Great bump in D3 for those who don't know. Great bump for throughout history. So definitely do your research. But that's going to do it for another episode of Not Even D2. We definitely appreciate you getting on the pod. It's been a good conversation and good luck next year.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Keep doing great work, man. It's so fun to listen to you guys.
Appreciate you, Coach.
That's going to do it for our conversation with Coach Zimmerman. Really good convo. One thing that, like, we didn't dive too much into, but I wanted to highlight is, like, their culture is really so strong at this point. And shout out to Gene Beatty for this point I'm about to make, but it's like started because of Coach Zimmerman. He's grinded it out, but now it's like just the program itself has this infectious culture. Like, you talked in the intro about his energy being infectious, but now it's like translated to the culture as itself. Now the upperclassmen can just like, they understand everything Coach Zimmerman wants to preach to the younger guys, and that helps the younger guys be able to transition into college basketball more seamless. And that's showing why they're like, their player development's always good. They're always making the tournament. It's just a culture that's continuous now because of Coach Zimmerman just like constantly grinding it. 18 years is crazy. Shout out to him. But yeah, just a really good conversation if you got any extra thoughts.
No, you're right. I mean, culture is such a big part of college basketball, especially in this NIL era. I know D3 isn't really affected by it, but the transfer portal and stuff like that, like, you want to build a culture so students are more inclined to stay at your school. And that's what Coach Zimmerman has done at Emory, bro. You know, pretty clearly. I also just love how he talked about some of his influences too, like Coach McKillop. You know, Coach McKillop, if you're listening, I don't know if you are, but, you know, definitely got to get you on the pod. But super dope episode, bro. Glad we got Coach Zimmerman on for sure.
Facts. Well, we got a great episode dropping. It's gonna be Thanksgiving next week, but we'll still have an episode out for you guys. So make sure you subscribe. Go follow us at Not Even D2. A lot of good short film content. Rue to be snapping on. So go follow that, and we'll see you next week on Thursday.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list, and every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.